Welcome to the Transatlantic Rants. My name is Fraser and I'm over in Canada, and I'm not sat here with Jeremy from England. He's over the pond. Hello, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I'm in England, and this is the third podcast that we're doing, which is nice.
I'm excited about that.
Yes,
it's
very.
It's out of control now.
It is. I think we're getting better at it, so do stay tuned. Sure, it'll be just as amusing as the last two.
Yeah, well, by the powers of editing, there should be a theme song on the start of this one as well.
Cool.
Yep, so that's all good. You've done by your fair self.
Yes.
Very, you are a talented old sausage, aren't you?
All of 5 minutes that took.
I don't believe you.
It took about, there was about 9 recordings of it, because the first one was worked really well, and then I ended up deleting it while I was trying to actually upload it.
this is the man who works in IT.
Yeah, I know. And then finally, by the end of it, I got to sort of like the ninth version, because it kept losing a certain something. Anyway, yeah, the guys will get to hear it, and I'm sure they'll love it.
Guys and girls.
Yes.
So this week I have on my list here, we are going to talk about a film. This was your choice.
Yep.
I'll get that in from the start.
Yes, it's one of those films that is so poor that it needed discussing.
Did you know that?
Well,
the film is Man on a Ledge, which even by its title, Man on a Ledge, why don't they just call it Cop Eating a Donut?
Yeah. But we'll come on to that.
So Man on a Ledge, if you are able to and want to sort of go off and listen to that and come back, that's what we're going to talk about in a minute. We're going to talk, you're going to get your little section in on Wimbledon.
Yep.
I'd like to talk about receptionists for a few minutes. And
don't we all?
Yeah, I don't really want to alienate everyone, but no one who likes tennis listens to us anymore. I think we're on fair footing.
Good.
And I've got a little quiz for you as well. It's not much, but it's just something that made me chuckle. So.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's all good. So this week, what have you been up to this week? Still loving
this?
Are you still loving your job?
No, well, the job sort of took a bit of a back seat this week, because after 2 years of not riding a bike, the last time I got on a bike was the London to Brighton. I decided to go out mountain biking with some guys I know, and I ended up kind of getting like botulism on a bike. All of these guys are quite sort of, you know, they've been doing mountain biking for a couple of years now, and I was a bit apprehensive anyway about going, because as I said, all I'd done pretty much since my son was born was just basically drink more and eat a lot and find somewhere comfy to sit. And I ended up sort of, you know, dusting off the bike, pumping up the tyres, going over there to sort of be met with these guys, you know, that literally do this week in and week out. They had all the specialised bikes, you know, the really expensive ones.
You know, how did they have disc brakes?
All disc brakes, all that kind of like malarkey. I sort of turn up on my rally shitter with my manky old trainers, and the only thing that I thought would actually, you know, create some sort of, you know, the look as though I knew what I was doing, I had one of those camel sack things, they're like things you put on your back, and they got like a little water tube that you put in your mouth.
Right.
And literally, I sort of brought my bike and I said hello to Tony, who was the guy that sort of was going to be doing all the event, and he brought out a toolbox and he had these special sprays, and he said, right, I'm just going to check the pressure in your tyres. What did you pump them up to? I said, well, I just pumped them up. He was, what pressure? I said, I don't know, until they felt firm. And he had like a special sort of like gauge thing that he was able to sort of put on. He said, mate, these are on zero, you need them up to like 30, whatever it was. I was like, alright, is that a bit more firmer then? So he firmed up the tyres and he kind of put some oil on the chain, a special wax oil that apparently goes on and then covers the chain in a sort of a waterproof sort of thing. And he was very good. I mean, he sort of helped me out and got everything sorted. And he had all those special sort of shoes, things, you know, the things that clip in. I just basically had a helmet. I'll tell you what it reminded me, mate. When I got, I mean, these bikes are like 800, 900 quid, and there's my kind of, you know, like I said, rally special. And I kind of felt like when I went to a party once when I was a kid, and I sort of turned up in sort of Gola specials and a Peter Storm Mac, and all the other kids there in their Nike Airs and their Adidas windcheaters, and it was that kind of feeling again that you sort of get there and you think, oh man, I'm a smelly boy on the bus, you know, because I didn't have all the gear. I just was there with no gear and no idea. So,
do you still have that orange mountain bike?
No, I got rid of that. I gave that to Sheehy after I got it all done up. He's never thanked me, by the way, the selfish shit.
Has he ever used it?
Current evidence, probably not.
No.
Sorry if you ever listen to this, Sheehy.
The evidence is running in front of you, Jury.
So, anyway, the only thing that I had, which was in my sort of ace pack while all these guys were getting ready and we went out, was the fact that I'd already told them all my pathetic excuses of why I'd be lagging at the back. I'd already told them that, you know, I hadn't really ridden for a long time. But I did know the area because I walked the dogs there. And I ended up going for what was supposed to be an hour and a half bike ride, 4 hours later, getting them completely lost until we had this polite moment where they sort of ignored what I was saying about where we should be heading and asked this bloke, who then pointed in the completely opposite direction. And the whole time I got covered in mud, and what happened was my mouthpiece was getting covered in sheep turd and God knows what else was on there, and I was sort of sucking all this stuff through in my camel sack, and I'm literally on Monday, hell descended upon me, literally like throwing a bag of gravy into the toilet, and I had the worst kind of stomach horrendousness that's literally lasted all this week. Until I got to the doctor's, where she sort of said, you know, that it sounds as though you might have a bug or whatever, and I thought, well, yeah, obviously. Gave me a little, like, pot to do my business in, and everything's kind of settled down, so it's only really today that I'm not kind of going through the eye of the needle, as it were. It's been brutal.
Oh. Well, you and my daughter both, she was at the hospital this week, not the hospital, the doctor's this week, with a dicky tummy too, so there you go. But she didn't go mountain biking.
No.
How do these guys go mountain biking? What I don't understand is how somebody, if these guys are going mountain biking every week, how come they don't get ill? Maybe they're used to it.
Well, I think they're actually men, whereas I just sort of, I don't know, mate. I kept thinking perhaps it was like a Legionella thing in the water in the backpack. Or was it the fact that
done the exercise? When was the last time you used that backpack?
I don't know. The missus said she washed it out. But she's kind of getting me looking at insurance policies and all sorts at the moment. So
oh, well, you need to do that for your little one. So that sort of reminds me of when I first moved over to Canada and some guy... You know, when you first move over to somewhere and you're new, people are very good. They're sort of like, oh, well, you should meet this guy, you know, or you should do this or you should do that. And in Canada, it's extra so because everyone's so friendly. And I remember somebody, when I first moved over to here, somebody said, oh, you need to meet my mate Dave or whatever his name was. I can't remember now. Because he plays football, because they found out that I was played football.
They're always Dave as well, aren't they?
Probably always Dave.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, you play football, well, you need... And he's English too, and he plays football. You need to meet him. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, I get a game in, that's great, because I was playing a lot of five-a-side and when I left England. You know, to the obvious high standards that you're used to seeing me play at. And so I meet this guy, Dave, and he says, yeah, or I get a phone call from him. He's like, yeah, Fraser, come down and play with us. So he gives me a call. I said, yeah, we'll play next week. So he gives me a call. He phones up. And he says, yeah, come on down tomorrow. We're going to play. It's going to be good. We've got a couple of ex-Canadian international players who are going to be on there. Some of these other guys who play on this so-and-so. I'm like, you got to
That's
be...
when the warning light happens, isn't it?
You got to be kidding me. Like, I can't play with international. International? No. And I sort of tried to make up some weak excuse, but he still dragged me down there. I got absolutely...
Had you made him aware that you're a butterfly chaser?
I think he found that out pretty quickly. I got...
I'm like a fly squatting kind of like...
Man, I have never played so... I tried, you know, I gave it a good go, but honestly, I've never had the run around so much. It was brutal. These guys looked like they were just, honestly, playing... Well, they were. It was like... What was it like? It was like a cat batting around a mouse. Savage.
What one with rigor mortis? Yeah.
Savage.
This was the same thing. I mean, when I got there, they were kind of just taking all their tops off and putting on these sort of special type, sort of, you know, top things and stuff. And I was just looking at overseas thing, and I've just got no hope here. No. I'm never going to keep up. And it was like, I was the eldest there. I had to keep telling them, you know, that I was the eldest while I was at the back. And when they'd sort of get to a peak, I'd have to get off the bike, look around to make sure that they couldn't see me at the top of it, and actually get off and walk up. And then literally just before I could see the peak of where they were waiting, I'd get back on the bike and get up there again. It was really, I don't know, I suppose the worst thing is, and I know we were going to discuss this point, it just reinforces the old age thing and the fact that I'm so unfit. I don't know where fitness goes, literally within sort of, you don't do anything for say 2 weeks and you just turn into like an amoeba. There just seems to be this period of time, when you were younger you can run around and you've got all the stamina and everything, but as you get older, it just goes out the window. As soon as I found out someone mentioned the word international, you just gotta make your excuses, mate.
Professional.
See, you know what I'm doing now? I'm just thinking of looking at expensive bikes. It's the only way that you can get out of these sorts of situations.
No, then you're gonna end up being exactly what you despise, which is all the gear, no idea. Spends, you know, turns up with all the, and honestly, this gets me. Grace hates me for it, because I'll go and see these joggers, you know, limping along the road, but they've got every bit of kit on, 17 water bottles, mini water bottles tied around their waist pack. Oh, it just winds me up. She's like, no, they're giving it a go. You got to respect that. No, I don't respect anyone who can just walk out, get their credit card out, buy every piece of expensive, you know, when you can't even run.
Well, it's the way of getting around it. You'll notice that as men get older, their one way of sort of trying to feel psychologically that they have the edge over a younger opponent is to buy a more expensive racket, to buy the more expensive trainers, because you're just trying to sort of bring the balance back again. And that's what I found with this, is that I'm looking now at these bikes. The missus has already told me categorically, you've got 11 guitars, you're not going to buy another mountain bike. And I'm secretly there, which is not bad, just having a little look, to seeing what was on there. And I'm doing it because I just sort of think, I can be unhealthy and at the back, but at least I'm on an expensive bike.
Yeah.
And I can stand there with all the other guys in the car park when they're all getting there. Because there's this lot of posturing, man.
No, I bet.
Everyone gets up really early.
They're all turning up in their Volkswagens with their...
With their
Shimano helmet.
And I'm just there on my rally shitter with a manky old smelly old pair of trainers, these kind of like old, you know, I just feel really smelly but on a bus.
Yeah, you know who the ultimate hero is, right? And we'll have to watch this film. The ultimate hero for us is Rocky, because he didn't have all the equipment. He wasn't able. He had to go train in his brother's meat factory. And it wasn't even his brother's meat factory. So... You know, you need to do that. Put the Rocky music on, go out on your trainers and your old bike, and then you need to turn up in the worst car of your two. That's first world problems, isn't it?
This is the other thing, mate. I didn't add to this, that they were all there, and this guy had one of those Audi sleek things, the special rack, and the other guy had this lovely expensive rack, and I just had the wheel off my bike in my old, done 128,000 mile Honda, with bags of garden rubbish in the back of it. And we were sitting down after the bike, after I'd got them all lost and they'd kind of forgiven me. And he's saying, so what car do you drive? Because I was telling him that I was a consultant. And I said, because he said, I'm currently driving an Audi A5, and I, you know, he was going on about his mind and all the kind of like old man talk that you have. I said, I've got an old Honda. And then I just went and made lots of excuses for my loyal old Honda, because I was embarrassed about it. It's horrendous. That's what it's come down to. Nothing changed from the schoolyard. You literally, the same things of the posturing and the kid with the Nike Airs doesn't change as you get old. You still don't have a pair of Nike Airs. You're still in a pair of Gola Specials.
Yeah, but if you had all the money to buy all that stuff, would you be happy?
Yes.
Oh, ba-boom. Didn't see that one coming.
No, I don't know, mate. I suppose there's a certain amount of charm in it.
Well, but, I've given up. I think one of the things is we've got Grace and another car, So she's driving the nice car, and I've got my... I was going to get another car, but I'm just driving mine, and I was thinking, yeah, I wonder whether I should spend money and really get it done up. It's like, I've crashed it in the front, so the hood's all bent, all the front is cracked. I've got rust on both wheel arches. Some of that grey primer is now on the wheel arches, which I haven't got round to painting the right colour of the car. It's really looking bad. Really bad.
Do you remember that red car that you had? And you were behind me when we decided that this is another expensive sport, guys, that we decided to get involved, which is golf, which is basically another last bastion of hope for the kind of man getting into his 30s, coming up to 40s. And Fraser had this old red car that he proceeds to drive through every bit of horse shit that he could find right behind me. And as we were going back to Mark, I could see this cloud of enormous smoke where literally, wasn't it, the wheel was rubbing against the arch. Now, normal people would have just stopped, but you were determined that you were going to leave this horrendous thing. And the only wealthy person that we know is Mark's parents in their kind of like mansion on their on their drive. This horrendous caked in horse poo red Fiesta.
No, it wasn't a Fiesta, it was a Metro.
Oh, was it a Metro?
Yeah.
Metros. Every kid had a Metro.
It was good fun, that car. I ended up selling it for 50 quid.
You actually got money for that?
Yeah.
So, anyway,
okay,
sorry.
Yeah, we better move on. We're already a quarter of an hour in here, and we're already starting just to whatever. Okay, so let's move on to... Okay, did you watch this movie Man on a Ledge with Sam Worthington? Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to talk us about it?
And then, well, basically, it's following this kind of like idea at the moment where you have a title and that literally encapsulates the whole film. Like Made in Manhattan is about a maid that's in Manhattan.
It's a play on words. It's very clever.
It's just irritating. It's like some bored writer just sat there and gone, Made in Manhattan? Ah, that's on the back of my little plastic toy here. Made in Manhattan. Right, let's have a maid in Manhattan, and we'll stick Jennifer Lopez, whose star is so down, isn't it, really? Bless her.
It's probably a bit like you've it's probably a bit like you've let a crossword puzzle creator loose on creating it. There's no double meaning on Man on a Ledge, is there?
Well, no, that just what I mean is that that's just basically telling you what it is. You know, when Aliens came out, we were talking about Prometheus last week, they basically said that when they sold the film in, they said Jaws in space, and that pretty much got the idea to very thick producers out there, have lots of money, coke up their nose allegedly, that they would green light it. And this is obviously about a man on a ledge.
And if that doesn't give you a rough idea of the quality of this movie,
then nothing will. It's got Sam Worthington, a kind of actor who goes from A to A1 to back to A1 and then to A1.
Yeah. If I can just Sam Worthington, what did he do before before Avatar?
He did Terminator Salvation, I think, didn't he?
Well, I said this last night, you know, he's done Avatar, he's done Terminator. I don't know, I'm just not convinced by him yet. He's alright, he was alright in this movie, but I'm still not convinced he's an A-lister.
Well, he plays this guy that is basically somebody who's been wrongly accused, like they all are. Their names are always John, or something like that, if they're action people, and he has decided, in order to create a big kind of disturbance in this city, he will stand on a ledge, pretend he's going to kill himself. In the meantime, while Billy Elliot, his brother, or whoever the guy is, I can't remember his name, is that played Billy Elliot.
Oh, did he? I didn't realise that. I didn't recognise him.
That's him, yeah.
He was alright.
He was alright. This is the thing, but anyway, so guys, everyone listening out there, he's on this ledge, he's creating this big disturbance, he's got a little mouthpiece, there's a kind of two stories going where he's on a ledge discussing with like the police that he's going to jump off, and every time that he needs to distract these police because they might go and see what his brother's doing while his brother's trying to steal back this information.
Diamond, you didn't watch this movie, did you?
Diamond, yes I did, it was a couple of weeks back. The thing I found most frustrating about this kind of like film is it's really nothing. There's nothing in it. It's where producers think, well, we just put him on a ledge. That's quite cheap. we'll have this kind of like a little bit where they have to steal the diamond and some excitement around that. But the thing that annoys me more is not even how bad Sam Worthington is at acting. He's kind of like Brad Pitt. It's a bit of a contentious one. Brad Pitt can't act. Let's just get that out there now. Brad Pitt did his best acting in a film called Snatch, which was a British film. Where he kept talking like that. He was playing like an airship. And that sort of leads me quite nicely, because Sam Worthington has what we would call in England a gypsy face. So there's a little bit of like niceness going on there and a linkage. But what happens is that I sort of watch these things, and I'm watching Billy Elliot, and he's with this quite fit woman, and I'm thinking, this is another thing that happens. They're always putting ugly men with fit women, and that we're supposed to believe that this relationship is a goer. This just doesn't happen. He's punching well above his weight. what is going on there?
He really was, you know, punching above his weight.
Massively. And then they have to have this sort of, and I don't mind it, because men don't mind it, but they have to have this scene where she's obviously got to do something where she's got no clothes on. So, and I'm not a prudish in any shape or form, but I just sort of, it just reminds me of the Will Smith thing that you get, where he's got it written into his contract, because he's never been able to grow a moustache and he's got these strange pointy out ears, that he has to show his torso and everything that he ever does. And it's a little bit like this. They're thinking, let's get her naked, or literally naked, and that will keep everybody happy for a bit. It's all these sort of distractions that are going on all the time, just because there's no real meat to the story.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Did you not find that? Was it just me? I've gone on a bit of a tangent.
No, not at all. I mean, I really... No, okay, to be fair to the movie a little bit, I watched it with my wife and a friend, and the two of them loved it. They thought it was great. They really did. I just thought it was a vacuous piece of rubbish. And I just felt none the wiser. In fact, the first thought that came to me when it finished was that you owe me 2 hours. You do. You owe me those 2 hours, and I can't get those back.
I know. I mean, Your wife would probably say that it was a bit edgy and it was quite dark, where I would say it was dull and monotone.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say that Sam Worthington kind of like plays himself in all these kind of like roles. He's a little bit, we have this character in EastEnders called Ricky, and Ricky kind of acts like he's just basically, the whole time he's in front of the camera, he's just suffered a major prolapse. And this is the same thing. Sam Worthington doesn't have a major prolapse, but he's basically just has this kind of scowling, quiet, grumbly, kind of Marky Mark Wahlberg kind of, he's another bloke who can't act. Marky Mark Wahlberg can't act either. Let's just get that in there.
He doesn't care, but Mark Wahlberg, I don't know. He doesn't need to act. I think I quite like him. I don't know why. I think he knows he can't act. That's the thing.
Yeah, but there's a difference, you see. Where the Statham, Jason Statham can't act either, but Jason Statham is a fantastic action hero, and he's a legend. And I've gone through every film with Jason Statham. There's another one coming out called Safe, which we'll have to see in the next few weeks when it is, you know, at his cinemas. But he can't act either, but at least there's something with him. You know, there's something about him that you just sort of find endearing. There's nothing endearing about Sam Worthington. Sam Worthington would try and get off if he misses. He's that kind of bloke.
Sam Worthington, you know what would have turned that film around for me? Was if he was a bad guy and they were stealing the diamond.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, an anti-hero.
I get the feeling that maybe he has to be a hero because of the sort of roles that he's got, the way that Hollywood views him. They should have had him as a bad guy
grooming
stealing
him.
The diamond. It would have been great.
Have you seen him in The Clash of the Titans, a film that didn't need to be remade?
Oh.
And they remade it, and it's so bad.
That was the film.
I mean, in fact, the effects are worse in the 21st century when they do it than they were when a poor guy just had basically morph and some plasticine and had to make these little light skeletons dance and stuff. It's poor. Have you seen it?
Okay, no. Well, I'll tell you what. We can do a segue here if you want to do a segue. Because I was going to talk to you and do a little quiz on film taglines. Clash of the Titans came up because I think it was on my list here, which was 50. Oh, this is great film taglines, but I was looking at one which is worst film taglines. And Clash of the Titans was on there because the tagline was, Titans will clash.
Someone got paid to do that.
Someone got paid to do that, was given money.
And
I'll tell you how I started to get thinking about this, because I was looking on Netflix the other day, and there's a new series called The Glades, which was on there. And I thought, what's The Glades? Well, I haven't seen that. And I looked, and this is why I will never watch it, because the tagline on it was, this is about a cop who goes down to the Florida Everglades, by the way. he's in probably a New York cop, he might be an LA cop, but he goes down to the Florida Everglades. And the tagline was, "Sunny with a chance of homicide."
I think that's clever.
Oh,
that works for me.
Dreadful. That's so bad.
There's a guy that actually goes home and sits with his family, and she said, "So what did you do today?" And he said, "Well, there's a film called Clash of the Titans. I kind of thought we could mix it up a bit. I a bit dynamic. What did you do? Titans will clash." See, you're worth every penny, love.
He
you
is.
Really are.
Okay, so so my quiz for you then is, I've got a few here. See if you can tell me the films. I've got a few highlighted here. I'll start with one. This one you should get on what you've just talked about. Okay, the tagline is, "He was dead, but he got better."
Evil Dead.
No. Stars Jason Statham.
Oh, Crank. Crank
yeah.
One or two.
Crank.
Yeah.
Crank High Voltage. What's that? First one or second?
That's the second one, I think.
That was garbage.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why that was garbage. Because they did that shaky cam thing. I felt sick watching that.
Oh, mate. This is the... Do you know what? We watched a film. It was like Cloverfield. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah.
This thing that they've literally gone, "Oh, the Blair Witch made loads of money. Let's just stick in some crummy old camera. Then spend most of the film trying to justify why we've got a crummy camera." And then, honestly, it was something about three guys that basically find an alien sort of... something's been buried in the earth. They go down, they get these sort of special powers, and you can already see where the story's going, because one's just a bit dark and edgy and everyone hates him, so he's obviously going to be the evil one.
Which one's that? Like, what film is that?
That film... I can't even remember. Do you know, I'm not even remembering films now. I just watch them and they're so bad I forget them. But it was Commonplace something or other.
Oh.
Basically three American dudes, and they literally get these special powers, and you just... And then they have the typical token black guy as well. He gets killed off straight away. I'm thinking, if you see it, you're thinking, hold on, is that a joke? You've just killed off the one of them is the black dude, and he gets killed off. He's the first one to go. And I'm just sitting thinking, well, that's poor. And they had this shaky cam thing, and you're just spending the whole time thinking, I'm going to be ill here.
Okay.
Oh, no, they're justifying why it is. And he has powers where he can make the camera go around him, so they kind of get why they're using a cheap camera thing.
Well, maybe if we actually knew what that film was called, we could talk about it.
I'll find out for next week.
I'll put it in the show notes.
What film was called. Yeah.
Okay, here's another one for you. "Love is a force of nature." Actually, that's not really that great, that bad. Anyway, I think I've just probably got that one because it's Brokeback Mountain. I'll put that one in there. Okay.
That one's got some interest around it. That whole scene where he kind of spits on his hand.
I've never seen it.
Have you not?
No.
There's a lot of, if anybody's listening out there and you guys have seen that film and the guy's in the tent, you know, and this is no way in any way homophobic. This is me just saying they could have made that scene a lot more... I'm getting to my female side, tender and loving, but literally he gobs on his hand, grabs his bits, and they get to jiggy with it, both the cowboys together, and it kind of just is a comically bad gay scene. But there we go. Okay, sorry, next one.
A romantic comedy with zombies.
Gosh, mate, these are all a bit obscure, aren't they?
No, this isn't obscure at all. You've definitely seen this. Directed by Ed somebody. Nick Frost.
Oh,
I'm not giving you the
Shaun of the
one.
Dead.
Huh?
Shaun of the Dead.
Correct.
Yes.
That's a good is that a good or a bad tagline? That's a good tagline.
Yeah, but they're a lot of stuff.
Oh, this isn't bad taglines. That's why I'm getting confused. This is just, can you guess the film? All right, we'll do one more because this is turning out to be not that great.
Yeah, we'll get rid of this.
What have we got here? There are 3.7 trillion fish in the ocean. They are looking for one.
Finding Nemo?
Yeah, see? You're all right at this, aren't you?
Yeah, you're one more. I was
okay, here's
it.
One more. This is because we talked about this guy. We know we liked him. Some memories are best forgotten.
Okay. Memento.
Yes. See, that's a good
tag.
And
do you know what? In the time that you were doing that ridiculously silly quiz that's just lost us half our listeners, the film's called Chronicle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Check it out. Laugh at how bad it is, and you will be able to tell. And I do this more and more now. I call it the Star Wars effect, because there's a thing they call the seven stages of a story, where there's a guy, he's a bit naive, he goes through such and such, he meets like a guru kind of character who teaches him to how to do certain things, and basically he becomes a better person for it. The film's very regimentally, especially US films, follow that in great detail, and this film, Chronicle of these three guys, their special powers, you can see what's coming a mile away. Check it out, it's rubbish.
Okay, right. So that's Man on a Ledge and Super Quiz done.
Man on a Ledge, got to just give it scores out of 10.
Oh, 5 at a push.
I just because of the fact it's got Sam Worthington in it, and the fact that I can't abide this men punching above their weight, having the fit women kind of on their arm thing, I have to give it 4.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
I'll
you know,
give it,
it doesn't
5
matter if
because I just saw some people were entertained, and I know that I'm not the target. You know, maybe I'm not the target audience at all. I better not be. Otherwise.
Well, this is the thing. This is like with it. You know, we're just feeling more isolated. Nothing seems to be, you know, representation, is it?
I'm beginning to understand why my dad just doesn't watch any movies that anybody else is interested in. Why he just spends all his time in an allotment.
Yeah.
Okay, so this week I managed to go onto YouTube or whatever it was and see a Scotsman blubbing into a microphone in front of a load of people.
Yes, bless him.
Andy Murray did not win the men's singles final at Wimbledon. I repeat. Andy Murray, the Brit, did not win Wimbledon. Who would have thought?
Apparently in the UK, this is quite endearing, actually, that he had 16.9 million people watching that final. And I watched probably about 5 minutes of it, where the game plan for him was for it to rain. He was losing in a set, and the actual commentator saying they must have rain now. They need to get rain. He's off, and that was the game plan. Now that to me is if your game plan is you're hoping that the gods are going to somehow intervene and assist you in winning, then you don't really have a game plan. You know.
Is he anything special? I'll tell you why I asked this because, how that's relevant, because I watched a movie this week on Ayrton Senna. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, which on the racing driver Ayrton Senna.
Oh, it's a documentary sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half documentary, and it was very good. Interesting, anyway, if you're a bit of a nerd. Actually, you called me a Formula One nerd, and now I'm admitting that I do like it. But there was a bit, you know, when it rained, that's when he really dominated. He could drive in the wet like nobody else, you know, and was, you know, pulling, you know, bags of time per lap. Once it rained, he was laughing. Was Andy Murray one of these geniuses in the rain?
No, I mean, the whole ludicrous thing about it is all it's done recently is rain, and they still kept refusing to put the roof over. And I felt that this was actually going against Federer, who would have just simply would have whitewashed him, because when it started raining, and literally Andy Murray goes, oh, it's raining, quick, we need to stop it, because he was literally fenced into a corner. That bought him more time, and I thought that was very unfavourable to Federer, who, let's face it, is just unfortunately well above Andy, you know. And I think that the poor name Andy is ever since, you know, that Andy in Toy Story just seems to be that sort of irritating kid, you know, who doesn't respect any of his toys. I find that in the same way that Tim sort of affects me, that Andy and Timmy are just names that aren't going to sort of like do anything for me, really. So,
well, maybe, yeah. So I didn't even see the score, so I don't know. Did he get whitewashed? I mean, as far as I can see, Federer is just this robot that we talked about before.
Yeah, it
like these guys, who is it? Federer, who was the other guy who was before him? Or who's around this? So
Pete Sampras is one of those guys at school that when you went in the showers, you always feared, because they were just hairy. You know, when you were sort of like 12 or whatever, and nothing really was much, well, maybe just me, nothing much was growing down in that area, and you had to go into the shower with your Mr. Sheen, and there was a hairy beast. Pete Sampras was the hairiest beast. One of the guys at our school called Neil Dimbleby just basically had hair growing everywhere. He literally had to shave up to his eye sockets. There was so much hair around his face. And Pete Sampras is that kind of thing. He obviously was a man as a boy, a man boy. And he was a robot, mate. A fantastic tennis player, yeah. But a robot. They all are.
Yeah, so the whole of England then, were they all disappointed?
No, we got over it.
You got over it. I'd be interesting to talk. I'll have to talk to my mum, because she's always been a massive Wimbledon fan. I mean, as long as I've known her, which is all my life, funny enough.
Was it a couple of years that you did?
Yeah, she's always been, Wimbledon has been, that 2 weeks Wimbledon is on, she is in front of the television watching it all, so I'd be interested to find out whether she got it. She probably was sitting there hoping he was going to win and whatever, but...
I think, there was hope, but really, you're playing against a droid here. And it's funny because you're probably missing this in Canada, but as you can probably imagine, we're pretty doom and gloomy at the moment. As you said, we haven't had a summer because all it's done is rain. And I want to next week discuss builders if we can, because I've had to do some repair work on my house because the builders I employed didn't do it, but that's for another time. We've now quickly got onto the Olympics and the fact that we haven't got enough security personnel. So literally people that come to Great Britain to see the Olympics will have our army wandering around and protecting them. So it's a little bit like going to see in a 1970s Russian state where people are supposed to be going into the land of the free, which is the UK, and they will have loads of policemen. So our attention has immediately gone from one misery to another where it's just going to be embarrassing.
Yeah, but you know what? And I think... Why not use the army? The security on the Olympics is going to be out of the taxpayers' money. Nobody can win then, can they? Because they're going to pay for security. You're going to say, "Oh, my tax dollars at work."
I'm already paying tax dollars
for the army, so why not use them to do something?
No, mate, they're going out there fighting pointless wars at the moment. I'm talking about the fact that not only are they sending our guys out there in a lot of various different regions, a lot of wars that we should get involved in, but they're also making them redundant. So what they're basically saying out there is go and put your life on the line for the UK, and then help us out of a sticky patch because G4S haven't got enough trained security people, even though they've had quite a few years to get prepared for this, and then we'll make you redundant when you bail us out. If I was the army, I'd just turn around and say, get stuffed, we ain't going to do nothing. I'd get some of those generals to just do, you know what, we're not going to follow the normal protocol, we're not going to do anything for you. So you
get stuffed.
Just get stuffed, that would be the things they can have, rather than having khaki-like bottoms and jackets and then Operation Sandstorm stuff, they just have, get stuffed. We ain't doing diddly. Because it's been ludicrous, these poor guys. I feel for them. They've been treated horrendously. Anyone listening out there, if you're a politician, yeah, we're watching you. We've seen what you've been doing.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems to me like if you've got the army there, why not you?
Mate, they're always drafting the poor guys. Disaster, any such and such, the poor blokes have been, dragged over. Get the army to sort it out. Get the army to do this. Get the army to,
Well, it's a mass it's a force of people who are paid from taxpayer dollars. I'm not saying you should start using them to sweep streets and stuff like that. Although that would be nice.
No way! We've got loads of people in prison. We just stick them out there doing that. We have chain gangs, and everybody's...
Oh no, they've got rights.
Nah, mate. This is why I like the kind of like the American idea is that when you've got all these guys, you think they're kind of like the gangster, like guys. You get them there in their little yellow coat, saying with the various different things that they've done, and you put them out where all their mates and all the rest are, and you put them out on the streets cleaning the streets. And then you just get rid of any of the kudos and any other sort of prestige they think they've built up by basically mugging people and being schmucks, and you get them out there and basically embarrass them. Like the old fashioned medieval way of putting them in stocks and just basically getting loads and loads of manure, putting them all over them. You go back to that kind of degrading kind of punishment which we need to bring back.
I think you should be... You know what, when you do those tests at school and you fill it in. Oh, Jeremy, yeah, we've done the results of your tests of what you should be when you grow up. Prison warden.
Dictator.
South American dictator.
South American dictator. You just sit there with your head in a bowl of coke, you know, just barking orders. I think it's honestly, other things that they've tried are not working. We need to bring back embarrassment on a grand scale.
Yes.
But that's going off on a completely different tangent. I don't know how we got to Andy Murray.
That's a good tangent to go off on. That was from Wimbledon, wasn't it? I was trying to remember where we were.
Yeah,
okay. Well, look, I'll tell you what my rant this morning, the one that I had this week, which I just I'm going to keep notes at work because this one set me off, and this is on receptionists. And this all stemmed from me phone, and this happens to me all the time. I spend a lot of my time, and I'll speak to customers, I'll speak to suppliers, I'll speak to whoever. I'm always phoning other companies. If I phone the company and you're the receptionist and you answer the phone, "Hello, this is ABC Corporation, you know, how can I help you?" I will say to you, "Oh, I'd like to speak to Dave Jones, please."
It's
and then
Dave.
What happens next? Whoever, another Dave, right? Or Andy or Tim. Tim Jones or his brother Andy. And then the next thing I know is, "Yep, just one second, please." Boom. Hi, and straight through to his voicemail. Like, I could have done that. I could have pressed a number to go straight to that guy's voicemail. Can you not please come back to me and say, "He's not here. Would you like to go through to his voicemail?" Because your job is to manage calls. Manage my call. Don't just put me through to a voicemail. I can do that. That's why you are going to be replaced by a machine. Because I can press the numbers that get me through to his line. I can do that myself, remotely, from my own phone.
Or him?
Come back to me and say, "Would you like to go to his voicemail?" "No, I wouldn't like to go to his voicemail."
What's she going to say to you then? Where would you like to go? Hell?
Yeah, no, because most of the time there, I'm looking for answers to questions. I don't necessarily have to speak to that guy. "No, I wouldn't like to go through his voicemail. Is there anyone else there who can help me?" Or maybe she could offer that. "Is there anyone else who can help you?" "Oh, you know what? Maybe. What I need is this." "Okay, just a second. I know that Andy's brother Tim can help you with that." Whatever happened to that? Now it's just straight through to his voicemail. Then you leave a message and nobody comes back to you for 5 hours. It just drives me insane. And somebody else made a point last night as well, is that when you have a receptionist who's complaining about the phones always ringing? Isn't that your job? Shouldn't you be grateful for the phones ringing?
Yeah.
You need those phones to ring. That's what you do. You answer phones, you need them to ring. No phones ringing, no need for a receptionist.
Yeah.
And some receptionists are fantastic. But you know what I think the problem is? What happens to fantastic receptionists? They move up.
Yeah.
Somebody says, "Oh, well, you come here. You come work in inside sales. You come and work in customer service. Because you're so good at dealing with it." I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just the fact that it's that job. I'm not sure.
I think that the problem is, mate, is they then often move into like a PA capacity. And then that's when they go completely evil. What annoys... over receptionists...
We have to be careful because my sister's a PA.
Well, over receptionists...
Well, you don't have
PAs are next in line for me for the rant, because I'm so sick and tired of you thinking that because you work for the top boss, that somehow that means that you are also the top boss. You are the PA, right? Now I don't care, you know, about the fact that, you know, that obviously you've worked your way up and various different PAs have various different like levels, but in my experience the most obnoxious PAs are the ones that work for the top man, because they then sort of cloud themselves in his or her cloak of power and then think that that is theirs as well. And they are generally unhelpful, obnoxious, finger-clicking kind of imbeciles that I've just... And it happens across the board every time. So if you are a PA or you are the top man or woman, that generally you have to have a little word of your PA and just say, "Look, you're not me, okay? You just do the things I'm sort of asking you to do and you sort out my calendar, right?" So when people ring up, you don't have to have all that attitude, because that's what I find receptionists, there's a lot of attitude, mainly generally with them. I think the whole thing of you know, giving them a bit of a hard time though for not logging your call is a difficult one, mate.
I'm not giving them a hard time, and you know why? Because I'm not getting the chance to speak to them again. They've already sent me off to the depths of hell in somebody's voicemail.
Well, I think you've got to go for PAs over receptionists.
No, I can't. Well, my sister used to be a PA. I don't know whether she is still now. I don't think she is, so I have to be careful on that one. But I would just like to just talk to people. Like, you just want to talk to people, right? Yeah. You don't want to go straight through to a machine.
Yeah.
Would you like to leave a voicemail? No, I wouldn't. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call back.
Perhaps you can give her that feedback, as you can say to her.
Or, you know, or tell me, what? Oh, you know what? It's going straight to his voicemail. Do you know why it's going straight to his voicemail? Yeah, I do. Because he died this morning in a car accident. Oh, okay. Well, maybe there's someone else there who can help me. You know, I just need information.
I think there isn't. Where we have pointless information, there is a need for information. Like, if you're stuck on a motorway in a long queue, if you can see on the sign that someone's died, or there's been something serious, you don't feel so bad about it. But if you're stuck there because some old giffer is stuck in the fast lane and everyone's having to go round him, or everybody's looking at the accident on the other side and rubbernecking, then that's a pointless waste of my time. Tell me that somebody's been, you know, something's happened serious, then I'll feel better about it. And that's where we need to concentrate our kind of information sources like this, because this is frustrating. I mean, you ring up, you want to ask a question about something or other, and you're put through to nothing, and he ain't going to be back for 2 weeks. You know, we want to use...
So let me get this straight. You would feel better being told that people were being hurt in accidents.
Just so I knew that when I'm sitting there waiting, you know, a couple of hours, that it's been worth it, rather than the fact that police love a little bit of power. they like to slow everybody down just to get around a car. You know, that's what annoys me. And in our overly congested country, which just seems to have more and more cars going through it all the time, that we need to have that information. We need to have options as well. Look, the M25's blocked. Come off at the M3. Stuff like that. Yeah, just stuff telling us stuff. So we just had, we have ridiculous things like fog, slow down. I can see it's fog, and I can't even really see the sign anyway because it is fog. So you're telling me to slow down, or if you're tired, take a break. I want to know 3 maimed, serious car, BMW, big accident. it's all right for you to wait and be patient because there's obviously something.
Salesforce wiped out, BMW down.
Yes.
You'd love that, wouldn't you?
They actually have. I wouldn't want anything serious to happen, but they have in New Zealand, as their kind of adverts for not speeding, they actually keep the wreckages on the side of the road. So you'll be driving along and you'll see 3 dead on a placard with the rusty car that was turned over, which to me is the most effective way of like dealing with certain stuff. Going back to my, you know, like social embarrassment, put them in a stocks and put cow manure over them. I also agree that you should have a turned over, burnt out BMW or Vauxhall Astra, because they're generally the people that speed up, and people put all those big British flags and loads of flowers around them, don't they, to sort of say Kevin was such a nice guy while he was cutting people up and basically putting other people's lives at risk while he belted down the M25 to get a couple of places in front of someone else. You know, I'd feel better about it, and I think that'd be an effective way of telling us stuff. Right, that's a good way of information.
Yeah. Then that would make you feel better.
That would. I feel a lot better.
Okay. Yeah. So, that's me done on receptionist then.
Good. Well, I kind of agree with you to a certain extent, but I think that is, again, probably not their fault. They're just thinking, I just put you through. They don't have a list of everybody who's going to be in that day, do they? Perhaps they do. Perhaps they don't even care, mate. This all goes back to like bad customer service,
you know,
doesn't it? Let's be honest.
It's just, come on, we all like talking to people, you know?
Well, I don't.
Well, some of us do.
I don't like talking to you.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
That's a fair rant, but I think PAs need to be definitely in there. That's just sort of, you know, being... I had a situation, I was going to rant about this earlier, but I had to go to the doctors, as I said, for this kind of botulism thing. Sorry to come back to this, but... And a woman came in, and everyone sort of, you know, everyone's very quiet, and even the kids that came in, they were quite respectful, and they were just whispering to each other. And I thought, yeah, and the kids are all right, as the Who once sang. And this woman came in with her little like daughter in a pram, and she sat sort of a couple of seats down from me with the pram facing me, and the little girl's looking at me. She smiled at me, and I smiled at her, and the woman. Looked at me with a scowl and turned the pram around so the back of the pram was facing me now and made the baby face the other way. What does that say to you?
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
That's saying to me
probably
that
she thinks you're going to attack her child or
and molest it. Wasn't it? That to me is saying you look a bit dodgy. I don't like you smiling at my kid. I wanted to say something. You know, it's one of those social situations where you just think, I just want to say something. So you just, why have you done that?
Yeah, oh, you think can't, I'm though, can you?
You'll be, and I was trying to get my wife. I was on the phone trying to like get her to come and bring our baby in to say it's all right.
I've got one too.
You know.
Actually, that reminded me of something that I thought today. It's funny because my wife works one day a week at the weekends, so I usually find myself on a Saturday taking the kids out, and pretty late. Normally, I'll take the kids out and we'll go have lunch somewhere. And it's been like I've had my kids for a few years now. And it doesn't matter where. Oh, that was it. Yesterday, I took my daughter to. I had to go get an oil change. It's great having kids because you can go do mundane things like an oil change and force your children to come with you.
Oh God!
And but with the promise of a donut, and so we went to the donut shop next door,
pushing the boat out.
Yeah, pushing the
come
boat out.
Come and be bored in a smelly garage, and you can have a donut.
Yeah, well, she bought it. She was bribed, so she'll get harder to bribe each week, but it's the donut did it. And I find that I can't sit there in a McDonald's or the donut shop or whatever. I was sitting there with my daughter yesterday, and I just sit there and think, everyone thinks that it's my week with the children. They just think I'm a divorced dad, and it's just my week with my daughter. Is that bad? I just always feel like...
I'm glad it's not me, because you create a whole little world around perhaps nothing. And this woman might have just wanted to turn the pram round just so that the baby was actually looking at her. But I've already made out that she thinks I'm a paedophile, and that everybody else probably thinks now I'm a paedophile because I smiled at her child. And
that's
you're
it,
thinking, and everyone thinks you're divorced. Is that... This is a psychological thing, isn't it?
It is. I think everyone thinks he's got custody of the children this week. Look, bless him. He's taken them out to McDonald's. Is that the best he can do?
This is his imagination. He's bought them a donut and taken them to see an oil change.
Those poor children. They see their dad once a week, once every 2 weeks, and he's taken them to McDonald's. How cliche is that?
Mate, well, I think, you know...
He thinks he can buy their love with a Happy Meal. I can buy their love with a Happy Meal.
See, the problem is that do you then do what I do, which is then prepare if someone says to you anything, or perhaps on that topic, or if the woman was to turn around to me and say, you know, I don't like you smiling at my daughter or something, that I've then sort of planned a conversation that I'll have with her, and I've actually built up what I'm going to say. Like, I think that you're very ignorant, would be the first opening line. Not everybody else, you know, out there is the lollipop man out of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. You know, not that he was a paedophile, which is a bit strange, so wasn't it? I mean, was he running around with lollies putting children in cages and stuff? I just smiling because children should have some confidence in another adult, should they? Or should everybody just be basically... See, I'm going off already. See, this is where I was going with it. Tainted with the
same
brush.
Yeah, and then she turns around to you and says, oh, I was just wiping my child's nose.
And then she thinks you're really weird, and then perhaps she thinks that you are a child molester.
She obviously would think you're nuts.
She probably would think that was mental.
Which brings us to the point, actually. If you're thinking all that, and we think that she would think that you're nuts, are you actually nuts? Maybe you actually are nuts and will not admit it. I know you're nuts.
Perhaps if I had to do a psychological test and they were saying, well, why are you feeling sort of always threatened in these social environments? I'd think, well, I was just smiling, and immediately, it was the timing of it. If she'd left it a couple of minutes and then turn the baby around, then that would have been fine, but she didn't.
Again.
But it was literally smile, child smiling at me, turn the pram around, facing the other way, me desperately trying to text the wife to say, I've got a child as well, quickly come in and prove that I'm not a child molester. That's how my you know, kind of like mine operates, really. I think it's
Mr. Allison, please. The simple answer to the question was yes or no.
Take two of these pills for the rest of your life.
Call me in the morning.
Call me in the morning.
No, seriously, yeah. Do you think you have mental issues?
I think probably have.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's through life experience, you know. I just expected more. Generally, that's what I want as my t-shirt in life. I expected more.
Your epitaph.
What happened? Yeah, just the kind of like the the futility of certain things. You know, there I am feeling quite dodgy and ill. There's some nice kids just off to me and they're quietly chatting away and I'm sort of thinking, do I pick up the women's magazine? Because there isn't any other magazines for men. And I just read that and I thought, yeah, I'll sit there. So I was reading a women's magazine when the child, you know, looked over. But it was such a nice sort of beaming smile. I sort of smiled back. What am I supposed to do? Just scowl at it? Or do you just ignore the child?
She just was wiping its nose. Because, I mean, I know that a lot of people...
She didn't wipe its nose because I was watching her then.
Oh, no.
I cut a little hole in the magazine. There just is a lie looking through it. No, but I was sort of just sort of gave her quite a filthy look. Perhaps she thought...
Well, that really started to put make amends of the situation.
And the funny thing is, when I had to go and get my little tube to do my business in, and I mean, let's face it, the things that they give you to actually give a sample in are just ridiculous. Can't I have a funnel or something that you can into the little cup? What are you expecting me to do? Stand and crouch over it? How are you supposed to fill these sort of things without getting most of it on you? Is it the way of the NHS getting their own back on you from, like, you know, having to hassle them with you, that you've got botulism from riding a bike when you shouldn't have?
I could rant on that one because I went and had the snip a while back.
Oh.
And I had the operation, and then I must admit, I was a bit tardy on getting my stuff checked out. So I went to the clinic or whatever, and then you have to do or whatever, and they check the sample. And then I'm just sitting there for about 3 months, and I'm not getting any call from my doctors because they're supposed to say, you know, yeah, you still have swimmers or not. And I'm waiting, and there's still no call. And I finally phone up the clinic, and I say, have you sent the results of my sample to my doctor? Yeah, we've sent it. We sent it, you know, about a week after you did it. Oh, okay. So I phone up my doctors, and I'm like, I'm trying to find out, you know, if everything's good to go. Oh, well, we can't tell you the results of your sample. So you have got my results? Oh, yeah, we've had them for about 3 months. I'm like, dude, phone me. Oh, well, you're supposed to come in. We didn't phone you because you didn't come in for your checkup. Can you not phone me to tell me that? Oh, well, you know, yeah, can you come in for your checkup then? No, don't tell me now I phoned you 3 months down the line and I've got 8 children that I've spawned all over because my results were bad.
No, I don't.
Oh, man. And no, seriously. And then it was, oh, yeah, okay, well then, okay, I'll keep my calm. Right, then book me in for the checkup so he can just at least just tell me my results. All I need is a yes or a no. You're good to go. Okay, that will be July. That's 3 months away. I know, but we're very busy. We can't book you in. Why does it take 3 months for just to say or tell me that things are all right? Like, literally, you could tell me now, and in 2 seconds it's going to take. Oh, it's going to be July. And you know what? That makes it a year after my operation. That's just incredible.
That is poor.
It is really poor.
That is poor. The administration here was pretty good. When I actually got to get my little plastic bottle to do my business in, the woman was still in there with her child, and she'd actually turned the pram right the way back round to where it originally was. That's the sort of like the ending of the bit. And my wife had arrived with ours in the pram, and I was trying to edge my wife nearer to the window so that the woman could look through the window, see me with the baby, and know that, you know, I wasn't the child catcher and child molester. But she didn't look up, and I was sort of there, I was getting louder and louder, going, oh, should I put the jacket on? Should I just take the thing and blah, blah, blah? Oh, we'll have a stool sample, thank you. Blah, blah. She didn't ever look up. So
no, you should have done. You didn't get so far as to sort of pick up your son and then accidentally trip over the magazine table and drop your child in her lap and go, oh, sorry, that's my child.
Oh, this. Look at him. Yeah, no, mate. That's it, and that's the problem with my life is the kind of like little background stories that I'm always making. You know, if I get cut up or if someone's being rude to me at work or perceived rude or whatever, I have a whole story that's going with it, and it's tiring. You know, it's like when you wake up, and I don't know if you have this, where you wake up in the middle of the night and there's just 100 different things of how you can sort out wealth and poverty and why your leader's all rubbish and everything else. I have this now where I just wake up and it's just like, that's it, my brain's too active, there's too much stuff going on there.
Yeah, I don't.
And it's not funny, even useful, you
know,
stuff.
But it is an interesting sort of sociological thing. That's, you know, that you'll sort of, somebody will, you know, cut you up in the car or whatever, and, you know, you're ready to just you know, the red mist descends down and you just want to sort of, you wish you had guns in the front of the car and you could just blow them off the road. Whereas you'll walk across the road, you know, and sort of you do that sidestep, left, right, left, right, left, right, with someone, you know, you can't get out of the way. And there's no, you know, because you can see the person's face, there's no hostility. So the car is a terrible thing, terrible thing.
I mean, that we could have a whole... The next rant should be about cars and stuff, because, yeah, I've got a lot of mileage on that.
Yeah, oh, look at that. Very good mileage. Like it.
Which probably rolls us up to around about the hour, mate.
Yeah, we are on the hour mark. So, anything else you wanted to just get in quickly? Not that anything is quick, but...
No, I...
Oh, okay, so actually... Well, sorry, go on.
No, it's fine. You just cut me off. Yeah.
Well, oh, road rage.
Yeah. I've got a whole little story. I'm thinking about you now. Yeah, I know your background. I know your little red Fiesta. I get you driving around that heap of
shit. It was a Metro.
Metro.
Why can no one ever get my cars right? Everyone at work seems to think I drive
think we tried to better them.
Toyota.
You know.
And I don't.
We tried to upgrade you.
Yeah,
I couldn't
no,
have
I've never
had a
been
Metro.
One for cars. I just do not want to put money into a... I'd like to drive a nice car, and I have had nice company cars, but my own personal car, I just can't put money into it. It's... So, we need a film for next week. I hadn't really thought that one through.
You could do Chronicle if you wanted to. No, we discussed
it. I don't
it,
know.
But I just...
It sounds bad. I wouldn't mind watching a good film.
There's nothing out there, mate. Me and my missus sit there looking through, and we've got Love Film, and we've got stuff on the PlayStation, and we've got stuff on like the BBC, whatever, and there's nothing out there. Someone out there, email us. Someone email us some films you think
well,
are going to be good.
Can we make
they can
a suggestion? I'll tell you what. I'll pick one off here then, off my list.
Okay.
How about Gladiator?
Gladiator?
Yeah.
How far back are we going?
I don't know. Oh, you want to watch a modern film?
Yeah, well, just something a bit newer than Gladiator. That was God knows how long ago.
I don't know.
A long time, mate.
Oh.
Let's just say that Oliver Reed has been.
Oh,
long
I'll tell you what. You
buried.
Think you can make it to the cinema to go see the new Spider-Man movie?
Yeah, actually, that'd be good.
Okay.
Basically, they've done a remake of the one already, but yeah.
Okay, well, see if we can get to watch the Spider-Man film.
Okay.
And I know I can. So if not, even I can try and get to it. If you can, that would be great. And if not, we'll try and talk and arrange another film just as backup, or you just tell me what...
Spider-Man's
we'll come
good.
Up with one. We're not very prepared to come up with one.
Sure.
So, yes.
So Spider-Man we discuss. I'd like to discuss people driving. And the age. We've had a story recently of an 80-year-old driving the wrong way down the road and took out a guy and killed him. So I think it's an important discussion and rant about when are you retested, right, for you to be able to actually say you can competently drive on the roads. And I think we need to look at that.
Yeah, we had that here. That happens every so often. Some drunk driver goes down the wrong way on the slip road. Totals and usually takes out a family of four. It's pretty brutal.
Always the way. They don't just sort of take out a serial killer that's escaping from jail.
Well, they don't hit a truck, do they?
No. They don't even hit a tree. They have to hit somebody else. It's just an unstrange universal law.
Yep,
so we discussed that. What else?
You know what? I don't have any topics. They'll tend to
Olympics.
Come up
I'd like to pick up on the Olympics. I'll tell you more about what's happening on the security side here. I think people are obviously from... because it's obviously a universal thing and we'll be interested to see what's going on with that, so that'll be good.
Driving, Olympics, sure.
Yeah. And I want to talk about builders as well, if we can also add that in. Now I want to talk about what I've had to do, because I'm sick and tired of builders. I'm sick and tired of being happy and glad for your bodging jobs that you do. You know, I'm grateful to a nurse or a doctor when they help me, but why should I be grateful to you when I'm paying you a lot of money just for your bodging? And I think we need to discuss bodging by builders.
Well, yeah, okay, you shouldn't be happy, but there you go, we'll talk about that. Good, okay, well, you filled up the agenda for next week. We're going to try and watch Spider-Man. If not, we'll talk about some other movies, and that will be great.
Cool.
As usual, you can find us on iTunes. If you are listening to us, we'd love to get a review on iTunes. That would be nice. Please send us an email. Our emails are fraser@transatlanticrants.com or jeremy@transatlanticrants.com. Send us an email. Tell us why you love us. Tell us why you hate us. Give us some ideas to talk about. Whatever. Please just email us.
Don't be so desperate.
Oh, anyone, please.
Go on.
I might even start emailing you. Just pretend.
Yeah, let's just pretend it's between us. We can create our own little world.
You know that's going to happen, don't you?
It is. We're going to be writing our own reviews.
Okay, so we're hitting the 1 hour form. It seems to be the magical minute. We find an hour as we're up, 4 minutes to finish up. Great, I'm glad we made it again. And I'll get the thanks for the theme music, Jeremy. I'll see if I can put it in to wind us down as well.
Yeah.
That'd be clever, wouldn't it?
It would be. It gives us a nice sort of bookends to the trough.
Yep, we'll see how many pops and squeaks I have in my audio and how much I have to take out, but hopefully it's going to have a gap around the half hour mark. I saw it pause, so we'll have to figure that out. Anyway, I'll edit this bit out as well. Okay, well, thanks very much. It's good to speak to you.
Yeah, and you, mate.
And thanks for listening, everyone, if there is anyone. And we'll be back hopefully next week.
Cool.
Okay.
Cheers, then.
Have fun.
Bye-bye. Transatlanticrants.com. 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 Ooh.